T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
913-586-7798, the phone number to get in with us here on a Wednesday. Again, continuing to follow developments out of Hurricane Ian. We will bring those to you as we get them. Next topic here came to us out of a question that was asked of Pay Dirt, which is the money advice column for Slate.com. And it's written by a woman who spends several sentences saying, "I am madly in love with my boyfriend. Like, we're engaged. He's amazing. Been together for 4 years. Love everything about him. Planning to start a family. Here's the thing," says we, "makes me very happy. We share many similar values, but here's the one place where we differ." She refers to him as Z during the course of this question. And he grew up in a country where tipping is not expected and can even be insulting. And as a result of that, and then they moved here, but as a result of that, he sees tipping as optional and rarely gives more than 5%, even at nice sit-down restaurants where you would standardize it to be like 15, 20, even 25%. She's tried to explain it to him. He's not getting it, but he thinks it's wasting money and doesn't tip when they're not together at all.
I thought, yeah, and we'll get to their response to this in just a minute, because I thought their response to this was fascinating. But yeah, just that idea, and I think she's probably talking about France, when she went so far as to say, you know, not only is tipping not expected, it can be insulting. That is a very endemic thing in the French culture, because the way that that's taken over there is if you leave a tip for your server, you're implying that their server isn't very good and doesn't make enough money.
Right. Which sometimes is true that they don't make enough money.
Well, yeah. Right. But it's like, okay, you must not be very successful at your job. Here's a little something extra for you.
Right.
So it's easy to see where that can be interpreted that way. But for him to say that tipping is optional, if that's the question, then even here, the answer is, yeah, it is. I mean, from a technical
standpoint, you don't have to.
I'm not saying you're right. And I'm not saying don't tip. But it is optional. There is nobody who will not let you walk out the door if you don't tip.
Which is true. Yes. Does anybody else not tip? Does anybody else truly see it as optional? Because you're right. From a do you have to? No, you don't have to. But if you see it that way, 913-586-7798. Because he genuinely sees it as, this is not something I have to do. So I don't know under what circumstances he does. And at that point, I don't know why you're tipping 5%. You know, if you see it as optional, why are you doing it at all?
It seems like she's kind of been in that influence on him where, you know, she'll say that if she asks him to do it, he'll go ahead and do it. And mm-hmm. he'll tip, you know, 15% or whatever, but he doesn't like to do it. And it's becoming a real source of friction between the two of them. But at least she's gotten him to the point where, yeah, he'll leave a little bit of something.
Yeah, the response here is interesting, starting with, yeah, we do this kind of badly. Like, we are, our tipping system needs to be completely restructured.
Yeah.
But that's not where we are right now.
Right. And I don't think that whoever responded to this on behalf of Slate, you know, I don't think they're wrong. I've said many times, I think the tipping thing, the system that we've got is terrible. And one of the things that they point out in that response is that, and I hadn't even put this together, but it makes total sense. Because tipping is done the way that it is here, it opens servers up to sexual harassment on the job.
Mm-hmm.
Because if one of your customers gets a little handsy and you shut them down, well, he's going to leave you a lousy tip and it's going to cost you money.
Right. How do we feel about this? Before we get to the rest of the response there, again. And the other thing she's asking is, like, how do I get through to him? What do I need to say to him to get him to understand that we're not in the country where he came from?
Let's go to the crossroads area where Courtney's calling in from. Hello, Courtney.
Hey, I have some input on this. I'm thinking he's probably he could be German too.
Oh, the same scenario there?
Well, yes, but I will say, when we first were over there, you know, people were like, do not tip. They consider it insulting. Just round up, you know? And I'm like, so I'm leaving them like a 10-cent tip, you know? And I basically had to sit on my hands the first year we were there to not tip. And I would have, one of my German friends would actually like pass me back the euro that I was going to leave, you know?
Yep.
But then I became friends with we lived down the street from a beer garden, and I became friends with the servers there. And I was like, listen, you know, here's the situation. All of us Americans are told, do not tip. That means we think you don't make enough money. You know, that means the service was bad. We know you make a living wage, but it's really in our nature to think that, you know, servers over here, I don't know how much they made, like $2.10 20 years ago when I was doing it.
It's not much more than that now, yeah.
Right, right. So over there, it is a living wage. You know, it is a amount that allows you to live a decent life. I'm a receptionist, same thing. But they said, we are never insulted when people leave us tips. That is not, you know, that's not necessarily true. So I never experienced a waiter or waitress that looked at me like I was crazy when I left them a tip. And my advice for that lady is to always carry some cash, and just as they're leaving the restaurant, or she excuses herself to go to the bathroom, and just hands it to the server or to somebody and say, this is for the person waiting on this table. So that would get rid of that's what I've done sometimes in Germany.
Yeah, so. Just do it behind their back. I love it. All right, Courtney, thank you.
Yeah, that's just my input. So
you got it. Oh, sorry. Yeah, thank you very much for getting in.
Texter just said, I just ate at a restaurant that put I missed a couple of words here. That put a 22% tip on our bill for two people and no choice. They automatically put it on there?
Wow. Okay. Yeah. The texter said, we tip anyhow, but I wasn't a fan. No, I wouldn't be either. I don't know. The only time that I've ever had a mandatory gratuity is for large parties. You know, parties of eight or more, right, or whatever.
To that texter, did you know going into the restaurant that was going to be the case? Did you know before you ordered that they were going to do that? That's an odd percentage to put on a bill, let alone for two people. Because we talked about that with like pandemic surcharges, and I don't know if those are still out there. I haven't seen them here. I wonder if those are still on, if that's some of what you're paying for.
Yeah.
Or if there's like, because the prices of things are up.
I'm glad somebody just texted this in, and I'm glad that you did, because this is the one kind of netherworld sort of place where I'm never sure. And I'm not comfortable either way, because somebody texted in and said, I won't even go to Sonic if I don't have an extra dollar for a tip. I feel weird tipping at Sonic. Sonic is fast food to me. I don't tip fast food. And I know, I mean, they're one of the few. Granted, so they bring the food out to your car, you know, but still, do people who work at Sonic not get paid in, you know, commensurate with what other fast food workers make?
And to that end, are there other restaurants like that? And I don't know what like that means.
Yeah.
We can figure that out. Where you don't tip.
Just, sort of on that edge between fast casual, where they do make servers' wages, and fast food, there's a big difference between, you know, going to McDonald's or going to, you know, like TGI Fridays or someplace like that. But Sonic is kind of in the middle. And so I don't know. I mean, I know they give you the option, but I don't know that it's as, you know, considered as mandatory as it would be at other restaurants.
The other thing that gets annoying right now about the time that we're in is the number of places, and I think coffee shops is where I seem to see this a lot, or just places where I order from the counter that will ask if you want to put a tip on the order. Like, all I did was order coffee from you.
Right. And I stood here. It's like you didn't bring it to me. I was just standing here at the counter. You handed it to me. Why would I tip you? Yeah, tip jars at coffee shops always weirded me out a little.
It's on the card now, though. They'll automatically say, "Do you?" And boy, I'm guilty. I'll do it.
And by the way, Sonic does that too. If you pay with a card at the little kiosk at Sonic, they do the same thing. And theirs, I want to say, it goes 15%, 18%, 20%, and then 22%. It gives you a bunch of options, or you can put in a custom amount. But it's like, who's tipping 22% at Sonic?
Yeah, I feel very quickly guilted into that. If I am ordering somewhere and I'm just standing at the counter getting it, and they ask, do you want to put a tip on the card? You know, when they turn the thing around and you put your card in yourself, I always do it.
Well,
you and I don't know why.
Because you don't want to feel like a jerk for saying, no, I don't want to tip you.
Right, because when they turn it back around and they see that you didn't, I don't want to be the person that didn't do it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I care.
Peer pressure.
913-586-7798. We'll take a break here. We'll get to more of your comments and tell you the rest of their answer back on this question next here on KMBZ. All right, we are talking about this question that was asked of the money column for Slate.com. This woman that writes in and says, I am in love with my boyfriend. He's amazing, so happy, can't wait to get married to him. The only problem with him is that he came from a country where tipping is not customary. In fact, it's considered an insult. As a result, he does not tip here in the United States. He considers it to be optional and won't do it unless pushed. And we're getting into a conversation, and we'll give you the response here in a second, about the places that are sort of in the gray area of tipping.
Yeah, and boy, some of the conflicting information that's coming in, because we happen to mention Sonic by name, is simply because they're in that weird space where it kind of feels like a fast food place, but it's not quite one, and they do bring your food out to your car, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of you are saying those car hops do make less money. They have a wage, but it's much more in that server wage, that $2 or $3 an hour range. I don't know if that applies to the people who are making the food. Probably not. But it's hard to tell. And so sometimes if you don't know, as I didn't know until the text line told me that there is a difference in the wage. Now that I know that, I'm going to change my opinion about tipping when I'm there. But I wish there was a way to make that more public without saying, yeah, we're terrible to our people. We only pay them $3 an hour. So, you know, tip, will you?
And I think that question of whether you tip when asked on the card when you're standing there is fascinating. Because, like I said, I do it all the time because I feel guilty.
You're not the only one.
You're standing right there. I feel guilty. I don't want to be the jerk that didn't tip you for making my latte. Yeah. Even though I don't feel like it used to be that way.
When they turn it around and say, do you want to leave a tip on that? I would just like step back and look them up and down real quick and go, yeah, all right. You know, make them earn it.
So in terms of the response here, we said that it was a pretty interesting response. And there is some advice here in terms of how to handle this with the boyfriend.
Yeah.
But basically, the response was, ask your boyfriend to experiment with tipping generously for a short period just to see how it feels. He's going to feel more poor afterward because he's going to be spending more money than he is used to. I don't care for that response. She said, rather than wasting money, tipping feels good to me. It is giving money directly to hardworking individuals and feels like less of a waste than providing a tacked on service fee to a huge corporation.
Okay. But as far as that overhaul that they talked about at the beginning of that response, what does that overhaul look like? You know, the easy answer to that would be, okay, we'll just raise everybody up to at least minimum wage, and then we can go from there. You know, you can negotiate wages on top of that. But that's something that we're all going to have to agree on. And until that happens, and until that's made public, that, okay, tipping is now really optional because, you know, the servers are not depending on that to make their wages anymore. Until there's some kind of grand agreement among 330 million people on how to do that, it's never going to happen.
Yeah. I don't know how we're going to get there, because restaurants have experimented with that. In fact, we've talked about it multiple times. The big restaurant group that I know of that tried it was the one that Danny Meyer is in. For those who don't know Danny Meyer, he started Shake Shack.
Yep.
And then eventually sold it, but he's behind a lot of restaurants in New York City. He's written some cool books about how to make money in restaurants. And he tried it for a while, got rid of tipping, and ended it and went back to it. It just didn't work out. So we're just not there yet.
It will mean that the trade-off for that we have to be ready for is exactly what he found out. That mm-hmm. it means that the cost of a cheeseburger and fries is going to go up by 20%.
Right, right. All right, thanks to everybody who got in here. Again, we mentioned that we're keeping an eye on what's going on with Hurricane Ian. The Points guy had posted this story this morning about what, and this didn't occur to me, although it is interesting, that there were cruise ships, five of them at least, that we know of, that either couldn't get back to shore quickly enough, although I don't know how, because you knew this was coming for a while.
Yeah.
But we have at least five major ships that are spending some extra time at sea because of this hurricane.
Because they've closed all the ports. Port of Miami I don't know if Miami is closed, but I know the Port of Tampa is definitely closed. And there are a lot of those places along the west coast of Florida now where they have cruises coming in and out of all the time. The Port of Tampa is the biggest one. But there are cruise ships that stop in Fort Myers as well. Not today. On one hand, you go, okay, yeah, I can see where people might need to come home and go back to work and things like that mm-hmm. after the cruise is over. But boy, doesn't it just rend at your heart that people need to spend more time on a cruise ship?
Here's my question about that. If you end up spending a few extra days on this ship because they can't get back into the port, and it's Port Canaveral's the big one that's closed, and Jacksonville's the other one.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Are you paying for that? Should you have to pay for that?
Oh. Yeah, because they still have to feed you.
Yeah. And I'm looking at the lengths of some of these, because there's a bunch of them that are having to be extended. Let's see. There was a 4-night sailing of the Carnival Paradise. Here's why I ask. Because, again, we have known about Ian coming for several days now. Both of those sailings began on Sunday and had been scheduled to end tomorrow morning on Thursday. And now it's going to go at least 5 nights, probably several more nights. Did they not glance at the forecast maybe and see that a hurricane was coming and maybe think that this was going to happen?
And can they take them somewhere else? I mean, that would be the other option. I would think it's probably cheaper for the cruise lines to just keep the cruise going. Mm-hmm. And to that end, yeah, I don't think you can force anybody to pay you. If they paid you for 4 nights and they can't bring you back to port, that's not your fault. So I don't think that they can tack anything on. I think it's one of those things where it's going to be a trade-off for, okay, we'll continue to feed and house you in exchange for you not, coming after us for the inconvenience.
Okay, here's the line. It's buried way in the story. As is customary, when cruises need to be extended due to bad weather, none of the passengers on board will be charged for the extra days that they spend on the ships.
There you go.
Good.
Yeah, because the other option is that they take you, instead of taking you, so Port Canaveral, if you look at the east coast of Florida, it's right about halfway down. Mm-hmm. Jacksonville, Daytona, that's going to be farther north. Obviously, Jacksonville is almost to the Georgia border. So that entire east coast of Florida, north of Miami and the ports down there, is going to be shut down for the time being. And so the other option would be to take them back to Miami and then fly them to wherever their car is, wherever the cruise came out of. It's probably a lot cheaper for them to just keep the cruise going.
People don't seem to mind, by the way.
No kidding.
No one on these ships is upset about the fact. One of them is Disney Cruise. That's fun.
Yeah, really. That's probably one of the ones that came out of Port Canaveral at that.
A couple of them are doing extra stops. Instead of spending days at sea, they're stopping in ports instead.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, well, a lot of the cruise lines own their own islands. So, if you take them back to the cruise ship's island for a little while and do a little barbecue on the beach, again, who's going to complain about that?
Yeah. If you're on hold, we need to get to a break here. But if you're on hold, Chandler, everybody else, we'll get to more of your calls coming up next here on KMBZ.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
913-586-7798. It's funny to me, the number of you that are calling and texting and saying you have been in this position before. So we were talking about the fact that at least five cruise ships, some that were on pretty short journeys to begin with, are now stuck out at sea because the ports that they were supposed to come into are closed. Tampa Bay, Jacksonville, and Port Canaveral are the big ones that are closed right now. And there are at least five ships that are on that have some pretty big cruises that are out that can't get in. So they are extending those trips for several days because they just can't get back into their port.
I'm curious what they do about keeping them supplied, but we'll get to that. Let's go to, looks like, who's up first here? Chandler in Lynn Valley, as you mentioned. Hello, Chandler.
Hey, how are you?
Doing all right.
All right. So it's been many years ago. We were on a cruise, a seven-day cruise, and I forget what hurricane it was, but it was basically going through Miami right when we were getting ready to dock the next day. And so they took us to the Gulf of Mexico, and we sat there and circled in the Gulf of Mexico while they were waiting on the storm to pass. Now, during that cruise, one of the islands was destroyed. I believe it was Haiti or something like that that got annihilated. But yet there are a lot of problems that occur that you don't foresee. So, yeah, it's nice to be – you think, oh, I get another day or two of cruising, but – the food, they plan for 7 days.
Yep.
The sewer has to get dumped, so you smell that. Trash is piling up, so you smell that. Less workers because they are trying to do more things. It's just not the same experience at all.
So the longer it goes, the less service you can expect.
Yes.
How much extra time did you say? Were you out there for an extra day or two?
2 days.
2 days. Oh, and we're happy to get home, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, and if you think about it, I mean, unless you booked your cruise and back when they would let you do the airfare with when you booked the cruise, then they were responsible for getting you back home. But if you didn't do that, then you're responsible. So
right.
On that day or two, all you saw were people on cell phones trying to get their flights reorganized. And
all the stuff you don't think about. Well, I'm glad you finally made it home.
Yeah, all right.
Thanks, Chandler. Yeah, so how do they keep them supplied? I mean, like he said, they plan on being out for 5 days. If you're out for seven, where are they getting the food?
I assume that they, I don't know why I assume this, but there's no way that they only plan to have exactly the amount of food they need for the length of the cruise.
Mm-hmm.
What if you have, you know, people eat more at the buffet than they do on previous trips or whatever? I assume they've got some extra supplies there for a couple of extra days. Now, maybe it's not going to be gourmet. Maybe it's not going to be, you know, the top shelf everything.
A lot more hamburgers and hot dogs.
Yeah. The other thing I would think is that if you have to, you bring in a supply boat or something from another port that is open that like meets you out at sea.
Right.
And transfers boxes of stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's not outside the realm of possibility. I mean, I'm picturing like Chinook helicopters landing.
Right.
Because they all have helipads, you know, you might as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I assume that's what they do, but that they, in theory, should be ready for a couple of extra days.
Let's check in with DC downtown. Hey, DC.
Hey, what's going on?
Tell us about it.
All right. Well, in 2019, we were booked on a Disney cruise to leave out of Port Canaveral, and it was supposed to go to the Bahamas. Well, what ended up happening was when we got to the port, they notified us that the ship was no longer going to go to the Bahamas, but it was actually going to go to Cozumel, Mexico instead. and it was going to come back a day later. So what ended up happening were a lot of people decided not to take the cruise because they gave you the option of either continuing on or just, you know, rescheduling the cruise. So we opted to go ahead and take the cruise. Well, we went to Cozumel. The hurricane ended up being very slow traveling. So once we got to Cozumel, they told us, well, the hurricane's not moving as fast as we want, so now we're going to take you guys to the Cayman Islands. So then we ended up going to the Cayman Islands. So then after we left the Cayman Islands, they told us, well, the hurricane's still moving slow, so you get to come stay another day. So our three-night cruise turned into a six-night cruise.
And a trip to Cozumel and Grand Cayman.
And a trip to Grand Cayman on top of that. Now, I'll tell you, what Disney ended up doing was they gave everybody telephone access to their in their room so you could call the airlines from your room phone and make all your flight arrangements as needed. And since half the people decided not to go, the ship was at half capacity. So there was plenty of food. All the activities were available. The ship wasn't full, but they still had the same full crew. So it turned out to really be the best cruise we ever took in our lives.
Yeah, I bet you had the friendliest crew on any cruise ship ever. Because they only had to deal with half of you. That's great, DC. I'm glad it worked out well for you.
Yeah, it was a good experience.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for the call. 913-586-7798. Just going to see if anybody else. Yeah, so we'll see when these cruises end up being able to come in. We don't know how long those ports are going to be closed. I come back to, if you've ever been on a cruise that's been canceled because of weather like that, the fact that they knew this hurricane was coming, they had to have known the possibility that those ports were going to be closed, and they sent those cruises out anyway.
Yeah.
There must be stuff that you sign when you buy your ticket. It's been a while since I had to look through stuff like that, where you acknowledge we might have to extend this because of weather.
Yep.
You know, and there might be no choice there.
Oh, especially considering, again, the area where most of these cruises happen. In the Bahamas, I mean, I don't know when the last time I heard somebody refer to the Bermuda Triangle was, but that's like right in the middle of it. So, it's famous for getting some of the worst weather in the world. So you've got to be ready for stuff like that. But normally, if they're just out, the caller earlier that talked about them, you know, just spinning around in the Gulf of Mexico, that's what they do. They'll just find some place that's out away from the storm and just circle.
And Points Guy points out that this rarely actually happens because of storms and hurricanes. I'm surprised at that, given how many hurricanes happen in that region. The other thing he pointed out was that it's rare that these ports are on both sides of the state that are closed, showing you just how big of a problem this storm is. They could get that cruise back in, but those flights to get those people home are going to be canceled anyway.
Right. So again, taking them to Miami when their car is in, you know, in Jacksonville or Port Canaveral or Tampa isn't really going to do anybody any good. We did have just sort of a restatement of fact. We talked about this earlier in the show, but if you're keeping track of what the story is with the Chiefs game against the Buccaneers this weekend, we are waiting to hear. Nobody has said anything official yet. According to Ian Rappaport, no change as of now. The NFL is working with the city of Tampa and the authorities there to try to make sure that if the game is able to be played in Tampa on Sunday night, that they will do that. But they said according to Ian Rappaport, should Hurricane Ian force a change, the game would be played in Minnesota. So they've taken New Orleans off the list. And if they have to move it, they're going to move it to Minnesota at U.S. Bank Stadium.
I'm going to read you a tweet that people are asking why Minnesota, and I'd seen this exact same tweet earlier. People are asking, why not just play it in Kansas City? Why not just move it here if you can't play it there? And multiple people have said NFL teams playing overseas are required to have their stadiums ready to go in case of an emergency. The Saints and Vikings are in London this weekend.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So they chose Minnesota.
Yeah, which is curious. Well, I guess maybe not so much, because I was going to say New Orleans is much closer to Tampa, obviously. Mm-hmm. So it seems like that would logistically be the better choice. But if you're still worried about hurricane damage, you know, hurricanes, right? Hurricanes are weird beasts and they do strange things. So you don't want to, you know, make a choice to go to New Orleans and then all of a sudden New Orleans can't do it.
Yeah, I would go the farthest away possible from wherever the hurricane is. Quite frankly, it wouldn't be unusual for Kansas City to get rain out of a hurricane. I mean, if it's big enough and it were to turn west,
yeah,
we've gotten rainfall out of those before.
And I would love to say definitively what the answer is as to why they can't just change it to a Chiefs home game instead of a Bucks home game. Because now with the my initial inclination would be, well, you got to have a certain amount of home games and a certain amount of away games for a season. You don't want to give somebody an advantage they wouldn't have had. But in a 17-week season that like we have now, you're always going to be up one. You know, you're always going to have either one more home game or one more away game. It would just be shifting that.
Yeah, somebody said you just don't want you don't want to give Kansas City the home field advantage, I guess. So, okay.
Yeah, all right.
You know. 913-586-7798. Let's go back to the phones here. John has called us up out of Independence. Hey, John.
Yeah, I've got grandsons who live down in Jacksonville, and they called and told my son that there is absolutely no gasoline available. All the gas stations are empty, and that there is no food on any of the grocery stores. They're all wiped out.
In Jacksonville already?
That's what he was telling me. He says he cannot believe it, but he says, yeah, the shelves are totally empty, and you can't find gas anywhere.
Wow. Time to head to Nashville for the weekend.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Well,
pass that on.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. Wish him luck for us. Thank you. If you don't know the geography terribly well, where we're talking about is far southwest Florida that's being affected right now. Jacksonville is as far north and east as you can get and still be in Florida. So it's right there along the coast, just south of the Georgia state line. So if they're already seeing problems with fuel supplies and grocery stores being cleaned out, it probably means that the city of Jacksonville is doing everything they can to prepare and getting everybody notified. So people are doing what they do when they get notified that a storm's coming. They head to the grocery store and buy everything.
Real quick before we go back to the phones, Colin, you had seen a tweet. Was it from the National Weather Service earlier? What had they said about people not taking it seriously enough?
Yeah, give me 2 seconds. I'll pull it up.
We'll get to the calls here in a sec while you pull that up. Sam has called us up out of the Northland. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, hey. Sam, what's on your mind?
Oh, you know, they're dragging their feet on this Chiefs game and everything. You know, what about all the fans that already have reservations to fly in, hotel rooms and everything? And, you know, and if it's played in Minnesota, why, you know, don't you think that they ought to, you know, I mean, they're going to have to hurry up and make their, cancel everything and make their flight plans and hotel rooms and everything in Minnesota.
Yeah, it's frustrating, but what's the option? I mean, the option is that the NFL goes ahead and says, all right, you know, if they said today or yesterday, all right, we're moving the game to Minnesota, and then Tampa gets nothing but a little bit of rain, and they could have played the game Sunday night in Tampa. They did all of this for nothing then.
Yeah, and I can understand that, but, you know, it's almost a gimme. They're not going to play that game. They're as bad as that hurricane is getting, and it's supposed to get worse, you know. But, you know, and I understand both sides, but, you know,
yeah.
I still think they ought to give them plenty of time.
Are you going down? Are you planning on going down?
No, I just watch it on here. So
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you got it. Enjoy the game wherever it's played. I'm not so sure. I am not pessimistic as Sam is that they're going to get this game in Tampa on Sunday night. I have a feeling they will.
Why? What's your... Because you know the geography a little better, you spent more time down there.
Yeah, based on where it's hitting, I think that by the time it gets up into the Tampa Bay area, it's going to be a huge rain event. There's no doubt about that. But you got to remember, Tampa gets rain all the time. The city is built on drainage. It's built to get rid of that stuff and dump it out into the bay. So if all they get out of this is a bunch of rain, the only thing that could knock the game out is going to be a complete loss of power in the area. But that loss of power would have to last through Friday. And I think the chances of that, I mean, again, TECO and Florida Power know what they're doing. They've done this before. Even though Tampa hasn't had a direct hit by a hurricane in 100 years, it still gets the effects of them a lot. So, I think that's what this is going to be. There was a very similar hurricane a year or two ago that hit almost exactly where this one is. And I was talking to my nephew who lives up there, and he said, no, it's raining outside. That's it.
Mm-hmm. The question I wonder about is how many people from Florida who have been affected by this hurricane are going to be having problems at their houses, they're going to go to that game.
Right.
You know, that's now maybe the NFL doesn't care. Maybe
they don't,
it's more about logistics.
Yeah, it's about
than
TV money.
Who gets there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. That's what they're really looking at, too, is that if they have to move this game to Minneapolis, that is a tremendous amount of expense that the NFL is going to have to lay out. I'm not crying for them. I mean, the NFL's filthy, stinking rich. They can do it. But that's what they're weighing right now is, do we spend the money if we don't have to spend it? And I think they're banking on the fact that by Sunday night, everything, at least at the stadium, and keep in mind, again, the stadium's on high ground. It's right dead center of the peninsula, that everything at the stadium is going to be on and ready to go as of Sunday night. And if people who live in Avila and other places in and around Tampa can't make it to the game, they don't give a rip. They want the TV money.
Colin, you found the tweet. Looks like National Weather Service is kind of telling people to take it seriously, even if they're not.
Yeah, it says, this is from the National Weather Service on Twitter. It says, quote, "Those of you on the Southeast Atlantic coast should not sleep on hashtag Ian. While it may not be nearly as strong as it is now, significant impacts are still possible as it reaches you later in the week. Hashtag prepare now."
Yeah, so some people, because it's not hitting them directly, aren't worried about it.
Back to geography for a second. That said Southeast Coast. That's the Atlantic Coast north of Miami. So that's the first I've heard out of the National Weather Service that area. I mean, certainly, again, they're going to get rain. Yes, they are. And they're going to get some wind, but it's going to tend to blow water out into the Atlantic instead of blowing water on shore. So I'm curious what they think is going to happen in Southeast. Now, getting into that Port Canaveral area and central east, you know, east central Florida, the Atlantic coast, the space coast, that area I can see them highlighting. But I wonder what they think is going to come around and smack Southeast Florida.
I don't know. But that makes me wonder then about what's going to come around on the outside.
Yeah.
In terms of rain.
By the way, there's another one forming in the Atlantic.
we can talk about that coming up.
You don't want to put too much of a curse on it, but it is out there.
Yeah, we'll take a break here. 913-586-7798. We'll wrap up the hour coming up next on KMBZ. All right, so now I'm on the Twitter account for National Weather Service Miami. The most recent version of what they put up there is entirely in Spanish. I think I'm doing okay with the interpretation here.
Okay.
Because maps don't need... maps work no matter what, because we were talking about Miami and about whether there are concerns about Miami. And so there's one of these on here that says potential for major flooding rain in Miami. I mean, all the way down to Homestead and up way up to West Palm Beach. So, yeah, I can see how they're saying potential for a few tornadoes in Miami.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm glad you brought that up. That was one of the things that showed, and we've got some things to go over about MacDill Air Force Base here in just a minute as well. But as we were watching some of the satellite pictures, I mean, I keep my satellite and radar straight, but the satellite pictures that were showing it in time lapse as it was spinning toward Florida, that far eastern side and a little bit in more toward the eye, but that far eastern edge of the storm, which is where Miami is going to be affected right now. The lightning that was coming down out of that portion of the storm was unbelievable. And it was like 10 times as much as anywhere else in the area that storm covered. So where you have lightning and where you have that kind of thunderstorm activity going on, that's where you're going to find tornadoes if there are going to be any.
Okay, we'll talk about MacDill here in a second, but I want to go to the phones. Carla's called us up out of Gardner. Hey, Carla.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well.
Good. I was just calling when you guys were touching base about people taking it seriously or not. We have a home in Cape Coral, which is Lee County, just right outside of Fort Myers Beach.
Oh, yeah.
And there are more people that stayed than you can imagine. And it's getting super ugly. We just lost visual from our cameras a couple minutes ago, but our neighbor's pool cage was being literally ripped apart as we were, you know, losing cameras. So it's getting pretty bad. It's going to be worse over the next several hours with the storm surges and stuff. So,
yeah, I can't imagine anybody staying on the barrier islands, but I mean, people do. Of all the places you could be, and you know, if you're out there, you are completely cut off.
Exactly. Yeah, it's scary. We're on the Caloosahatchee River, so we're not exactly directly on the Gulf of Mexico. Mm-hmm. So it has to come in a little bit to get to us. We're on the river technically, but we are on the water on a canal. So the water's already come up over our dock, and it's over our seawall, like in our yard at the moment. But yep. Our house is at a 10-foot elevation, so we have a little bit to go before it reaches the house, but it won't be long. We're expecting 14 to 16 foot surges. So. Wow.
Well, good luck to you. I hope it all works out for you and the waters recede quickly.
Yeah. We'll head down there Saturday and we'll see what we can see. So.
All right. Take care, Carla. Thanks a lot for the call. Yeah. People stay. I mean, and there's really nothing that they can do. That mandatory evacuation rule that we've been talking about, mm-hmm. all that means is they cannot force you out of your house.
Right.
If you want to stay, you can stay. When you're under a mandatory evacuation order, it gives the police and emergency responders cover to say, we're not coming for you. If you decide to stay during a mandatory evacuation order and you get in trouble, right. we are hands off.
Yeah. Yeah, just really unfortunate. So we'll talk more maybe about MacDill Air Force Base here coming up after we go to news at 1 o'clock, as there are updates to bring you about that. Gender Z had just said they're hitting wind gusts now in Naples around 115 miles an hour. That would fit with what we've been seeing. So it's coming up on News Time. So we'll take a break, get you more updates coming up in the next hour here on KMBZ.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.